It's 2023. Do you know what your bank is doing these days? A lot of people don't. Hi, I'm Rob West. Many of the nation's big banks are supporting abortion and other ungodly practices, and many Christians are saying they've had enough. Today, part two of our discussion with Aaron Cade about a very revealing survey on the topic. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're pleased to have Aaron Cade back with us. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at Christian Community Credit Union, an underwriter of this program. And Aaron, we're always delighted when you visit.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be with you and your listeners.
Now, as I said, this is part two of our discussion, but I think perhaps you should give us a brief recap of what your survey revealed and how folks feel about banks that don't share their values.
Yeah, sure, I'll do that, Rob. We recently surveyed over 1,300 Christians across the country, and what we learned was illuminating. But it, in fact, supports what we've been hearing anecdotally for more than a year from new members, and that is Christians are just fed up with their secular banks and how they use their money. Yeah, over 30% have considered switching banks in the last 12 months. And among the top three reasons was misalignment with their Christian values. 60% said that they care deeply about managing their finances biblically. And over 50% said it's more important now, more than ever, that their bank aligns with and supports their Christian values.
Yeah, that's really good. So what would you encourage Christians, Aaron, to consider when they're thinking about where they bank?
I think you can ask yourself, how does my bank use the money I put on deposit with them? Is it used to maximize profits for shareholders or to help build churches? Does my bank help advance the gospel or try to silence it? What does my bank do with the profits? Do they give to immoral causes or to ministries that help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children? If you find that the answers to any of those questions to be in conflict with your faith, there is a Christian alternative, and that's Christian Community Credit Union.
Yeah, that's really exciting. All right, now, I know a lot of folks are saying, but really, Aaron, switch banks? It just feels like so much effort. So what would you tell that person?
I would say it just comes down to this. It's a small-time investment.
Yeah.
Think of switching like adopting a new spiritual practice. Just as you might spend time journaling after your daily devotional, or spend time establishing a new spiritual habit, take a few minutes to align your finances with your faith and make the switch to Christian Community Credit Union.
Yeah, and the great thing is that you actually have that option today, whereas maybe you'd never considered this in the past. So let's do some compare and contrast here. Will you just break down the primary difference between Christian Community Credit Union and the big banks?
Sure. At Christian Community Credit Union, you get the quality financial products you expect and the robust digital tools you need to manage them anywhere you are across the country. At CCCU, you'll get great rates and low fees, sure, but you also get the satisfaction knowing that your money is put to work expanding God's kingdom. It's helping build new churches, it's helping ministries expand and grow, and it's also supporting Christian charities that are the hands and feet of Jesus across the globe.
Wow.
At CCCU, we view financial management through the lens of Scripture. We seek to honor God with every transaction. Scripture is our primary authority, and that's something the big secular banks just can't say.
That's great. You know, there's more competition than ever, especially in light of these higher interest rates. So what are some of the compelling offerings you all have at CCCU today?
Well, we recently launched the Harvest High Yield Checking Account, and it pays 4% APY on the first $5,000 in deposits. So you can really make your money go a lot further, putting it with Christian Community Credit Union. We also have a welcome CD that pays 5% APY, and you can invest up to $250,000 in that, and it's fully insured, $250,000 per account. So for example, if you were a ministry with $1 million in savings that you wanted to hold onto for a rainy day, you could break that up into four accounts, and all $1 million would be fully insured. And then we also have a cash rewards card, which lets you earn 1.5% cash back and also gives to Christian charities with every swipe.
I love it. Well, folks, there's an option out there if you want to align your values with your banking partner. Aaron, always great to have you stop by, my friend.
Thank you, Rob. It was great to be with you.
If you want to get more information, head to joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. Those lines are open 24-7, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Everyone knows what it's like to run late. You're scrambling to get out of the house, running to the car, hustling to get where you need to be. It's full of anxiety. The book of Hebrews says that it's like striving to get to heaven. It's full of anxiety. It's exhausting. But Hebrews 4 tells us a better version. Christ has come. Christ has done the work. He's entered an eternal Sabbath rest, and now he offers that same rest to us. Then Hebrews says, strive to enter that rest. Odd turn of phrase. Try hard not to work. Everyone in Christ has entered that eternal rest, and by faith we cling tight. Take heart. Christ holds us tightly. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, happy Friday. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It's time to take your calls and questions, folks. I know there's that question you've been thinking about in your financial life. You've been wanting to get that credit score up, or you've been wanting to pay down debt. You're wondering how to finish well and be a good steward of what God has entrusted to you. You're wanting to pass on wealth to the next steward, perhaps your adult children, without ruining their lives. You want to think about how much should you help that adult child still living in the basement. I mean, I know there's a host of issues you're wrestling with today, and we want to help you navigate those through the lens of Scripture. So give us a call right now with lines open. Our team is standing by, 800-525-7000. Whether you're at work listening in the background or in the car on the way on your commute today, 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and you can call right now. Today we'll tackle in just a moment a question from Deborah about whether to tithe from our Social Security checks. But first, a bit of good news related to Social Security. The forecast for the next cost of living increase has
has risen slightly from 3% to 3.2%. Every little bit helps, right? Social Security's COLAs, that's the cost of living adjustment, are pegged to inflation, and the official inflation rate in August was 3.7%. Now, the so-called core inflation rate was 4.3%, and those numbers don't account for food and energy, which would, of course, drive up inflation estimates. So there is going to be somewhat of a cost of living adjustment this year at 3.2%. That's at least the forecast as we head into next year's adjustment. So something for you to know. Again, phone lines open 800-525-7000. Before we head to the phones, this question came from Deborah, and she writes, do we give a tithe from our Social Security checks? I'm trying to pay bills because we are not to be in debt. Please help. Well, I think the first issue here is just recognizing, you know, a lot of folks will say, well, wait a minute, isn't the tithe the Old Testament law? I thought we were now under the law of Christ. That went away. That's all true. But I think it's a helpful guideline. You know, New Testament giving is about giving freely. It's about giving cheerfully, proportionately to whom much is given, much is required. And so if we want to use the guideline of the tithe as a beginning point for our giving, to do a systematic gift off of our increase to the local church, I'm all about that. I think that's a really helpful starting place for our giving. Now, if we're going to apply the principle of the tithe on the increase, then would that include a Social Security check? And I think one of the challenging things to recognize is that when it comes to giving off of, a few income sources from retirement, namely pensions, retirement accounts, Social Security, often what we will have there is we will have a portion that's coming to us as a return of what we've already paid in, because you paid in through payroll taxes into Social Security, and now you're receiving an income stream in retirement. So a portion of that is coming to you from Social Security, you've essentially already tithed on. Now, how would you approach this then? Well, I think there's two approaches you can take when it comes to any of these sources where a portion of it is a return of principal, especially if you've been tithing along the way, like with a 401k contribution. You can take a simple approach, which is just to say, I'm going to tithe on everything I get as a gracious gift from God, whether it's Social Security or an income stream for my 401k or a pension or some part-time work I'm doing in retirement or a gift or an inheritance. I'm just going to give a tenth systematically right off that top of that to the Lord and just say, Lord, thank you for this provision, regardless of how it came. You are my provider, and this is an act of worship. I want to give cheerfully back to support the work of the local church. The other approach is to say, I actually want to tithe on the growth, not the principal, because I've been tithing along the way, and therefore I've already tithed on the principal. So how would you apply that then for Deborah in this question related to Social Security? Well, your benefit statement, which you could obtain from the Social Security Administration's website, lists how much you have paid into Social Security during your working years, and you could essentially establish a percentage that says, okay, X percent is coming from a return of this principal, and therefore I'm going to treat Y percent as the gain or the increase over time, just based on, you know, the total amount you paid in spread over your life expectancy. And then you could say, whatever that percent is that's not a return of my principal, I'm going to tithe on that. And you could apply that same approach to other accounts as well. You could say, how much is the total amount I put in over my working years into my 401k? And therefore, there's a percentage of the total today that represents what you paid in. The rest of it, the rest of that percentage, is the gain, the growth that occurred inside that account. And now I'm going to apply that percentage to every check I take out in the form of income, and the portion that is growth or gain, I'm going to tithe on that. So I think that's between you and the Lord. Again, we don't want to be legalistic about it and miss the big idea in the New Testament, which is about giving as unto the Lord, giving freely and cheerfully, not out of obligation, but because we want to worship the Lord through our giving. We want to be connected into His work through our generosity, and we want to demonstrate our trust in Him, because the ultimate demonstration of God as our provider is when we give. You see, if we didn't trust the Lord was our provider, we'd hold everything we had with a clenched fist, because we may not get anything else. But we say, no, Lord, we trust you as our provider. It's not the U.S. government. It's not our employer. It's not anyone. It's you. And therefore, I can freely give and just say, thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful, not only for what you've entrusted to me, but far more important, I'm grateful for your son and how much you love me and how you've adopted me into your family. That's the right heart posture. Now, the mechanics of it is ultimately, I think, between you and the Lord. So I hope that's helpful to you today as you think and pray about your giving in that retirement season of life. And Deborah, thank you for writing to us at askrob@faithfi.com. All right, let's head to the phones here before our first or our next break, I should say. We do have some lines open, by the way, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Hi, Ruth. Go right ahead.
Hi. Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question, please.
Sure.
About our charitable donations, like to a local church. Can I claim that biblically as a deduction on my income tax return? Is that right or wrong?
My conviction on that, Ruth, is absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you would, just from the IRS's standpoint, the only way you'd be able to do that is if you get above the standard deduction. So 80% of filers take the standard deduction, which for 2023, if you're married filing jointly, is $27,700. So you would need to have deductions, interest deduction, charitable contributions, above $27,700 before you could itemize and take advantage of the deduction for the charitable donations you made. Otherwise, you'd take the standard deduction. But if you get above that and you can itemize, then absolutely, I would say you give freely as unto the Lord, as the Lord leads. But if the IRS is going to get you a give you a benefit against that, why not take the deduction? In fact, I would say that's good stewardship to get to take the deduction. Remember, Matthew 22, 21 says, Jesus says, render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. If Caesar says, I'm going to give you a credit toward your charitable giving, well, by all means, you take that unless you have a conviction otherwise. I hope that's helpful to you, Ruth. Hey, thanks for being on the program today. We're grateful that you called. We've got lines open, folks, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days, we've been banned twice. And is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, coming up in a little later in our broadcast, we've been talking this week a bit about wealth transfer, and I've been highlighting some of the decisions you have to make when it comes to choosing that next steward and making sure they are prepared. Remember, there's only three places you can leave money, what God has entrusted to you. It can either go to the government, to charity or ministry, or to heirs, beneficiaries. And as you select them, you have to also determine, are they prepared to handle it? This most often comes in when we talk about heirs. But I've been sharing some principles, the transfer decision and some of the principles underneath that, the treatment decision. Remember I said the uniqueness principle can be applied here. If you love your children equally, you will treat them uniquely. Some people struggle with that. We talked about that this week. The timing decision. Do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going? What about giving now and not waiting to do all of your giving at death? I think that's really an important point as well. Well, what about the title decision in terms of how you title it and whether you're trying to control it beyond your life? And then also the talk decision around communication. We'll tackle those a little later in the broadcast. By the way, if you'd like to pick up what I think is the best book on this subject regarding biblical wealth transfer, the thinking side of it, the decision-making, not necessarily the tools and the strategies, pick up Ron Blue's book, Splitting Heirs. It's a great resource. All right, back to the phones. We've got three lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Tennessee. Hi, Carl. Go ahead, sir. Hey, Carl, are you there?
Are you calling for Daryl?
All right, Daryl. Sorry, we mistook your name for Carl, but Daryl, go ahead, sir.
Well, that last section where you had Christian Community Credit Union.
Yes, sir.
Is there a way I can contact them by phone?
Yeah, so you'd prefer not to use the web, is that right?
Well, my computer's messed up.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, I can give you a number to call them. It's just 800-347-CCCU. That's Christian Community Credit Union. 800-347-CCCU. Or 2228 is the same as CCCU. So one more time, 800-347-2228. And that'll get you to the Christian Community Credit Union. Are you interested in having a banking partner that aligns with your values, Daryl?
Yes, I am. And I also, I have some money in the bank, but it's not getting any interest. So
yeah, that's great. Well, you know, more and more folks are wanting to align their values with their banking partner, and this is a great way to do it. By the way, folks, if you'd like to check out Christian Community Credit Union on the web, just go to joinchristiancommunity.com, joinchristiancommunity.com, or if you do call using the number I mentioned, just mention to them that you found them out at Faith and Finance. They'll take a really good care of you. Daryl, God bless you, sir. Thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000. We've got a couple of lines open. We'd love to hear from you with your financial questions today. To Colorado. Hey, Jackie, go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Hear me okay?
I sure can.
Thanks for taking my call. My husband's mother died in 2016. The sister inherited the house from the state
because she lived there a lot of years to take care of her. But when she went to change the deed, she's a Christian, and she realized the work so many have put into that house. She put all the siblings on the deed, six of them.
Mm.
And we all agreed that she can live there as long as she didn't even ask that, but we would let her always, all of us, live there as long as she wanted to. But now it's a very cold climate. She doesn't want to live there anymore. And so is there anything else we should be doing besides having all of us been put on the deed? Is there anything to avoid probate or anything we haven't thought of?
Yeah. So if your names are already on the deed, the house won't go through probate because you and your siblings each own this property on a pro rata share, right? You each own it. How many of their, how many siblings are there?
There's six wonderful siblings, so there's no problems.
Great. Yeah. And the, both of your parents are deceased. Is that right?
It's his parents, but they're, both of them. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So what happens?
No will.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So you all own the property outright, and when one passes away, the others will, you know, retain ownership of the property. And so oftentimes what folks will do is put a transfer on death deed in place, which just basically will select the next heirs to the property to pass it outside of probate. But because you have six people on the deed, essentially, you know, they will retain ownership. There is no probate as, you know, each one passes away. So it's really just a function of thinking through how do we want to pass this beyond the life of the current owners? Who will be the stewards beyond this current group of six owners? And then what do we need to do to prepare for that? That's ultimately going to be according to each person's will. They will leave the property, you know, according to their will, their portion of it. So that's going to create some challenges as folks pass away because, you know, then their percentage of the ownership may not necessarily be left to the other five. Do you follow?
Right. And then there's the situation my husband and I were talking about that maybe if he died, I wouldn't get his portion. But that's not our main concern. But all of us have money, all six of us, all five except her pretty much. And so, but that would be like it would never transfer to me if he died, right?
It just is going to be according to your will. How is your will set up? Do you know?
Okay. But it wouldn't be our will, right? It would be, there is no will. Like there was never a will. It just passed from the state.
Right. But now you all are the six owners or, you know, the six owners have the property and then his portion could be left to you or to someone else. So that's really an estate planning function. You also may want to talk to an attorney about putting this in an LLC, a limited liability corporation. That could be another approach. So I would talk to your attorney about your estate plan and he can help you figure it out. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
This week on Truth for Life, we'll wrap up our study in the book of James with a warning about the lure and the misuse of money. Then we'll begin a study of the tough questions asked by the prophet Habakkuk about God's timing and tolerance. That's our focus on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At FaithFi, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Check out all of the benefits of a FaithFi patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Hi, I'm Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Do you want to be prepared for ministry at an institution that you can trust? Wesley Biblical Seminary has been training trusted leaders for faithful churches for almost 50 years. In a nation where many denominations and theological institutions are caving to cultural pressure, Wesley Biblical Seminary is standing strong on God's truth. Earn your bachelor's or master's degree to equip you for faithful and fruitful ministry. Learn more at wbs.edu.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Hey, Faith and Finance on American Family Radio is listener-supported. If you've benefited from the program or you're a part of our Faith and Finance community, you listen, you try to listen every day, we'd love to invite you to be a financial supporter of the ministry. It would go a long way toward helping us equip God's people to be wise and faithful stewards. Just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click the Give button. And thanks in advance. Hey, I've got a few lines open here in the last couple of segments of the broadcast. We're going to try to get to as many questions as we can. The number to call with your financial question today on any financial topic is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've already covered tithing today and wealth transfer. We've talked about effectively passing your wealth. We've talked about having a banking partner that aligns with your values. What's your financial question today? Let's tackle it and do it together. 800-525-7000. To Tennessee we go. Hi, Gary. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Wes. Yes, I'm 69, retired. My wife's 66 and retired. I'm 401. She has an investment plan from where she worked. They pay her dividend every year. She just got a check this week for $900. It also included a letter saying that they could set her up on an annuity that paid $425 a month for the rest of her life. But when she passes, that's it. It's null and void. Or she could do $325 as a joint.
Yeah.
And when she passes, then it would continue for me. Is that a good deal or not?
Well, it depends. You know, I typically like to keep the lump sum just because, you know, then although you assume the responsibility for its performance, one of the benefits is then, you know, you can not only gain control of the investments, but you could access the money if you need it in a larger amount. You also have something to leave to your heirs. But there is, for some folks, a peace of mind to know that they don't have to take any risk and they can get a guaranteed payout for their life, a single life, or a single life plus a spouse. And that was the difference of $100 between the $425 and the $325. What is the balance on that account, Gary, today, roughly?
I believe it's $65,000.
Okay. So at $65,000, I mean, we would typically say if you were to invest that conservatively in retirement, you'd probably, you know, try to pull out 4% a year. You know, 4% a year on $65,000 would generate about $215 a month. So less than the $325, certainly less than the $425. But you should be able to maintain that $65,000 with that approach, meaning you get to the end of your her life or her life plus yours, and you still got $65,000, maybe a little bit more, that could be left to ministry or charity or your heirs. And you've got the full balance left that you could tap into if you guys needed long-term care, you know, which could, with skilled nursing care, could run you $9,000 or $10,000 a month. I mean, if there's something that's going to erode your assets in this season of life, it's probably most often going to be expensive long-term care needs. So that's why I kind of like the benefit of keeping the lump sum available to you and not converting it to an income stream. And I'd probably hire an advisor to manage that for you, where you're trying to minimize the risk, still have a growth component, get a lot of income generated through bonds, corporate and government, that type of thing, maybe some dividend paying stocks, but you still, you know, have access to your money. But where folks will sometimes say, no, I'd rather have the monthly payout either for a single life or single life plus spouse, is where there's a shortfall in their monthly income in this season of life. So their bills are a little bit more than Social Security or whatever other income sources you have. And that monthly check is going to close that gap. So they know, okay, well, at least for the rest of my life, I know I've got enough to cover my bills every month, and I don't have to think about the market. I don't have to think about any of that. Does that all make sense to you?
Yes, sir. And I have medical coverage through the VA. And also, I did good on my Social Security. I get a pretty good check, but together it's $3,400 a month. Okay. We have money left over, so.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if it were me, just based on the limited information I have, Gary, I would not take this option that's going to cause this money to essentially evaporate at your death or her death plus yours, where, you know, you guys have control over it. You can invest it how you want. You can still draw an income from it, but it sounds like you don't need it. So let's just let it grow, and then you'll have something down the road you could tap into or give it away.
All right. Thank you very much. That's what I told her, but I just wanted some confirmation there. So
All right. You
have a blessed day, and thank you very much.
You as well, Gary. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. Let's head to a first-time caller in Texas. Hi, George. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that. My question was, that I applied for Social Security. I did that online. I've got it coming. The letter said that it's going to be in September.
Yeah.
The only thing is that I never gave them a checking account number or something to deposit that. Will I get a check in the mail?
You will, yeah. So if you don't give the Social Security Administration your bank account information for direct deposits, then you will get a paper check.
You don't know when that would be. They said in September. I've had people tell me it's the third Wednesday of every month, but I don't know.
Yeah. So when did you file for it?
Well, that was June 6th.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, they do on the, you know, they typically on the third or fourth. I mean, it depends on a number of factors, but it could either be the second, third, or fourth Wednesday of the month. And it really depends on when you were born. So you could go online and figure that out as to when that will be coming in just based on your birthday.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I filed June. I was 66, February 25th, 1957 is when I was born. So I was told I had to wait like 4 months or something like that. So that's why I went to June. But anyway, okay. So you're confident that it'll be coming in the mail?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's paid 1 month in arrears though. So, you know, you'll have to wait for that check to come based on when you filed for it. But yeah, you will be getting that in the mail. And if you'd rather get the direct deposit, you can always go online at ssa.gov and sign up for that direct deposit if at any point you wanted to switch.
Excellent. Man, I surely enjoy your show. God bless you. God bless your ministry. It is a ministry. And yeah, God bless all your listeners as well. And God bless America. Don't want to leave that out.
That's for sure. I concur on all fronts. We will certainly take God's blessing. That's exactly right, George. Well, listen, thanks for being on the program, sir, and for your kind remarks about the program. We appreciate it. May the Lord bless you. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jerry Boyer will stop by. We always look forward to Jerry's visit each Friday. He's our resident economist, and Jerry always has some insightful analysis on what's going on or the lack thereof in our economy and the markets. Markets green across the board today, not by much. The Dow Jones barely in positive territory. The S&P up about 0.5%. The NASDAQ is the outperformer today at almost 1% higher. But we'll get Jerry's take on where things are going. What about an oil spike ahead? And how about the Ukraine war? And also some corporate engagement updates. That and more with Jerry Boyer. We'll be right back.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Resentment is careful to keep the books, which it reads and rereads, hoping for a chance somehow to get even. Love doesn't keep any books because it has no place for resentment or grudges.
Don't miss Dr. David Jeremiah's message, Love's Power Over Resentment, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It's a Friday. I'm Rob West, but that means Jerry Boyer stops by with our market update. Jerry's our resident economist and all-around smart guy that we bring on the program once a week. Good morning, Jerry.
So I'm the round smart guy.
No, all around. All around.
I see. I got it.
Just generally speaking, very, very smart is all I was saying.
and fairly round.
I don't know about that. Hey, Jerry, tell us what's going on in the markets this week. Obviously, all eyes Wednesday were on the Fed. We expected they wouldn't raise rates, but what about those comments?
Well, the comments were what they call hawkish. I don't know why, you know, tighter money is hawkish and looser money is dovish. I don't know where
Where does that come from, Jerry?
And why is a up market a bull and a down market a bear? Who knows
how. What about that buttonwood tree too? What's the deal there?
Yeah, I don't know any of that stuff. But it was hawkish, which is to say that, you know, they didn't hike rates then, but they were indicating they're more likely to hike rates in the future, or at the very least, markets were expecting them to cut sooner. So maybe like one more hike and then they start cutting, which is kind of weird. Like, oh, interest rates, raise, cut. That seems kind of like unstable leadership to me.
Yeah.
And we know that because this is James, the unstable mind, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways because they have a dual mandate, and the two mandates conflict with one another. The one mandate says what you want to do is you fight inflation by raising unemployment. And then the other mandate says, oh, you got to cut unemployment. You know, you got to keep employment going. Well, wait a minute, that causes inflation. Well, then we're going to go. So they go back and forth like a seesaw. These are some of the smartest people in the world, if you go by IQ or SAT score. And there's such foolishness in the policy. I mean, it's what Paul says about the wisdom of the wise is foolishness. So what we've seen with the markets this week is they're mostly down, and they're down in two ways. One, when all the markets are down, that usually means that markets think that the Fed is going to pull money out of the system. It's going to pull money out of the financial markets. So stocks and bonds are both down, right? But if stocks are down more than bonds, remember, bonds are like the sure thing, especially treasury bonds. So if people are selling stocks more aggressively than they're selling bonds, that means they're afraid about future growth, right? Because you make money on stocks largely from dividends, and that depends on economic growth. So the signal this week is, the Fed's not done. The Fed's going to be tighter. They haven't beaten inflation. They know they haven't beaten inflation. So at least that's one bit of truth. They know that they didn't beat inflation. They still think they need to slow down the economy to beat inflation. And you know what? They're going to succeed. They're going to slow down the economy. Yeah. And so the growth sectors and growth sensitive sectors are selling off more than the recession hedges.
Yeah. And obviously, as we look at where that target will be based on what we know today, we fully expect that the Fed's 2% target of 2% target is not going to be achieved in 2025 just based on the trajectory. Right.
I would be surprised if we saw 2% long term 2% inflation rate for years and years and years. They created so much money. The inflationary biases of the public policy establishment are very clear. If we get an economic slowdown, what are they going to do? They're going to put up with a slowdown? They never do. When you get a growth recession or a real recession, they always increase the money supply. It takes a lot of except for Paul Volcker. Paul Volcker and Ronald Reagan. Volcker cut money supply, but Reagan cut taxes to get the economy growing again. Yeah. So we don't have that now. We have someone not as brave as Paul Volcker at the Fed, and we have someone not nearly as growth-oriented as Ronald Reagan at the head of the federal government. So we don't have that policy mix. I don't see how we beat inflation. Now, if we have when you have a recession, prices go down very temporarily. People are afraid. When you're afraid, you don't buy things, okay? But that's not really beating recession. Frightening people so much that they, cut back, that's not a recession-fighting strategy. Because the moment they're not afraid, they go back to the stores and they have the pent-up the demand, and it just drives prices back up again. So the fear way of fighting inflation isn't really fighting inflation. It just creates the illusion that you fought inflation when you just deferred it until after the fear is over.
Yeah. All right. You know, it's interesting. I was just reading some comments by one of the Fed governors today, and the quote was, policymakers will stay the course to achieve the Fed's mandate. What is the Fed's mandate, Jerry?
Well, therein is the problem. It has two mandates, historic and, well, really three. Originally, it was created for one purpose and one purpose only, which is if things get really bad, you want to have a lender of last resort. Yeah. So let's say you had the panic of 1903, for example, and banks were insolvent, and J.P. Morgan Chase and a bunch of other rich guys met in a room, and they said, well, look, we can't let the economy collapse. We're part of the economy. Right. So we will, out of our personal fortunes, we will lend to the ailing banks. So they privately bailed out the economy. Teddy Roosevelt looked at that and said, I don't like that. I don't think that we should be so dependent on these rich people. We need the government to bail out the economy. By the way, I think that's mistaken. I don't want the government. But government is the taxpayers. I don't want us to be bailing out the economy. I think the rich guys should be the ones that bail out the economy. The owners of the banks should reach into their pockets, when the banks are in trouble. I think that system worked for, almost 200 years. But anyway, right. Roosevelt said we need a lender of last resort, so we created the Fed. But at some point, they became sort of the manager of the money supply, and then the manager of the economy. And then some members of Congress said, well, wait a minute, when you fight inflation, you try to slow down the economy, but that causes unemployment. So you have to fight unemployment too. So they have these two conflicting mandates, fight inflation by raising employment and fight unemployment by creating inflation. And just any given day, they decide which of those conflicting mandates they follow. I think what they ought to do is just sound money and sure, you know, lender of last resort if there's a crisis. But frankly, if we didn't mismanage the money supply, we wouldn't have had the depressions in the first place. We don't need a lender of last resort from the government if the government isn't messing up the economy to the point where we have these crises, which then the lenders lend in the midst of.
Yeah, well said, Jerry. Wow, yeah, that's really helpful. All right, but we could talk about that all day. Let's pivot here, and I want you to give us an update on what's happening on the corporate engagement front. Some interesting developments out of Nike, huh?
Yeah, and Nike, I think most people would consider it one of the more progressive brands in America. That, for instance, they were fine with athletes taking the knee during, or if they were fine if they didn't make any business changes, they defended it, taking a knee during the national anthem, et cetera. Well, Nike's annual meeting was fascinating. None of that stuff. There was no mention of ESG, environmental social governance, no mention of social causes. We didn't see any rainbow flags, which are ubiquitous in corporate meetings. From the management, it was really fascinating to see that. And there was also a proposal from activists who are shareholders. And what they wanted Nike to do is to report pay gaps by race and gender. Mm. In other words, how much do, say, African Americans make compared to non-African, to white people? Well, Nike said, we already do that, but we do it adjusted by the job. In other words, here is an example. If there's a woman who works in the daycare at Nike, and there's a man who's an engineer, we don't compare their salaries and say, well, she only makes 50% as much as him, therefore Nike is sexist. We compare female engineers to male engineers. We compare female daycare workers to male daycare workers. And the same with race. And it turns out when they do that, things are fair. It turns out when you compare people of different genders and races in corporate America who have the same jobs, they have very similar pay. And these activist groups aren't satisfied with that, and they want to actually use less statistically defensible. They want you to compare jobs that are not the same job, as if it's Nike's fault if more women decide to work for the daycare and more men decide to, work as systems analysts. I mean, for whatever reason, blame society, or maybe it's just the way God made us. I mean, I'm in here talking to you about economics, and in the next room, my wife is with the grandchildren. Right. So we chose that. She didn't say, oh, no, I don't want it to do the grandchildren. I want to be on Rob's show talking about economics. I chose this, and she chose that freely. And if people make those choices freely, then companies shouldn't be accused of sexism by comparing non-comparable jobs.
Yeah, and so they shot it down
by shareholders. Yeah, they shot it down. I think that management and shareholders are just sick of this racial and gender division stuff. They know that it doesn't create wealth. It doesn't give us good sneakers. It doesn't create good jobs, except for a small number of people whose job is to basically foment conflict.
Mm. Interesting. Well, we'll see if that's maybe the beginning of a trend as some of these companies watch what's going on with Target and Disney and Apple and a whole host of others. Maybe they're taking the cues and getting back to the core business. That would be a welcomed development in corporate America. Well, Jerry, grateful for your work, your analysis and insights, and for your willingness to stop by each day and share some of all of that with us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
That's Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. He's president of Boyer Research. You can read his insightful columns and opinions at World News Group. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. We covered a lot of ground. It was a real blessing to be able to chat with you. Thanks for your kind remarks about the program. If you'd like to support the work of Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, you can head to faithfi.com. Just click give. And while you're there, check out the Faith Fi app. Just click on the app tab to learn how you can stay on track with your finances.
finances, and perhaps in a way you haven't ever before. Let me say thanks to my team today, Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.